Turn, please, to Philippians chapter 4. We've been studying through Paul's letter to the Philippians. Today we come to chapter 4, and we'll be looking at verses 6 and 7. On the surface, a soothing commandment, but if viewed as a commandment, perhaps a bit disturbing at its sweeping nature. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, the subject of the text is very practical. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not worry about anything. How the human mind does fret and worry and fear about everything. How will the children turn out? Will they get a good education? Will they be socially accepted by their friends? Will they get good jobs? Will they be prepared for the world that they're living in? Where will we get the money for the next car that we have to buy? Where are we going to get the money to buy school clothes? What if the doctor finds cancer when he operates? What if the company I work for lays me off? They are cutting back on the workforce. I'm not sure whether it's best to live in Carlisle or live in Harrisburg. What field of work should I enter? And so people toss and turn on their beds all night long and cannot sleep. They are disquieted with future possibilities, with what ifs, with maybes. And some people look haggard all day long with fears of future uncertainties. So worried what someone might say about them that they cannot concentrate while taking tests in school. So concerned about whether parents are going to be angry about something that happened that they cannot study. Some people are worried sick. Anxiety really does bring on many illnesses, and it aggravates many others. Worry can really harm a person physically. You and I have been made in the image of God. And part of God's likeness, which is found in us, is the ability to look forward into the future and to think about the future and to plan about the future and to anticipate what the future will be like. We're not like the beasts of the field. We're not like sheep, dumb sheep, as they're called in the Scripture, that can only think about the grass in front of their nose or the hay that's been strewn along a path, which they follow, not even thinking, not even looking forward to the butcher who's waiting for them to slay them. They do not have forethought. They do not purpose anything. They do not prepare for the future. They do not watch with carefulness. But the Christian has the ability to hope, and that's to anticipate the future and to enjoy in the present the blessings that await him in Jesus Christ the Lord. And the joy of the Christian depends upon this forethought. And Christian faith depends upon the ability to look forward and to believe and to be confident that certain things will be that do not yet appear. Anticipating the future, seeing the future, believing in the future. And Christian vigilance has to do with the future. Watching, being careful, preparing ourselves for the world to come. So looking ahead is a very important part of the human life. But sin and the fall has twisted that capacity like it has twisted every part of the human personality, so that imaginations run away with us and we fear and worry and suffer because of things that are not present. We make the future worse than it will be if the things that we fear really do happen through worrying and anxiety. We live in the feeling of horrors that never will happen, but are only imagined because of silly anxiety and doubt concerning the future. And so we have the commandment. How gentle are God's commands? How good are God's commands? Don't be anxious about anything. That's a good command. Put away silly fears of the future. Silence all the what-ifs and maybes that your mind can imagine. And first we're going to think of six evils that result from worry. Why must you end it? Do not worry about anything, says the text. Because, well, the text doesn't give all these reasons. We read some of them in the text of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Because anxiety destroys Christian joy. It is your duty to be joyful. Verse 4 of Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. God wants happy Christians. The Lord Jesus Christ wants glad-hearted disciples. Always. You have hundreds of reasons for being joyful in the Lord. So many blessings you couldn't possibly count them. But worry keeps you from enjoying God's goodness, which is present and which you are enjoying right now. Worry is like a constant burr under the saddle, giving no peace to the horse, no comfort, no ease. What if the economy collapses? What if there's a war? There are always wars and rumors of wars. What if there's an earthquake? Gloom and doom fill the spirit. While the nation is at peace. We have peace, but we can't enjoy it because of the worry about war. We are safe, but we are worried that we will not be. The community prospers, but we are worried that that's going to end. And all of the economists write as if it almost has ended, don't they? Worry makes people so miserable that life isn't worth living even when it's blessed. And there's so many good things that come from God. It spoils joy. And then anxiety cripples the people of God. Anxiety cripples the people of God. When there are great things that you could do for the Lord, you miss the opportunity because you are anxious. All your mental powers are stolen away by thinking about things that you are worried about. Every one of us has experienced that at some time, that a certain thing that we are afraid of has so seized our minds that we cannot think of anything else. What if my marriage goes bad? The mind cannot do what it should do in the present. It's stuck in the rut of a maybe future that really hasn't happened yet. We can't act. We're paralyzed by worry. There's example of this in the scripture when our Lord Jesus Christ went to visit Mary and Martha at Bethany. What a privilege and what an opportunity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in their own home. That would be pure delight, wouldn't it? To be in the very presence of Jesus Christ, you get to ask Him your own Bible questions, the things you've been wondering about, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the King of glory. He is right there. You can ask Him your Bible questions. You can look full in His wonderful face and just enjoy His being there. You can receive His benediction. You can fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ in the same house with Him. What a chance to serve Him. If you love Him, if you thought, I'd like to do something for Him, you could make a meal for Him. You could make Him comfortable. You could make Him feel that you love Him. You could say words of your appreciation of Him. What an opportunity. What a privilege to have Christ. Do you know what Martha spent the visit doing? Worrying. Worrying. Fretting. She was stressed out the whole time. Jesus had to say to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Worried about many things. And that's how the whole visit went. Will the bread bake hard and dry? Is there enough milk in the house for the visitor and his disciples probably? Did we put enough blankets on Jesus' bed? Will he notice that I didn't sweep very thoroughly this week? And so she snapped at Mary. And she couldn't enjoy the fellowship, and she couldn't listen to Jesus, and she couldn't serve him well, and she brought all of the anxiety and the tension into the visit. So that Mary knew it, and Jesus knew it, and it ruined everything. The opportunity, the privilege, it was all gone because of worry and stress. It destroys joy, it cripples godly people, and it's useless. Worry never gets anything done, not anything. Worry makes you lose hours of work, because it takes your energy and your time. It takes away your strength, but it doesn't give you any strength. Worry never raised any grades in school. It may have lowered a few by keeping people from studying while they worried for hours. Some young people worry whether they're going to grow tall enough, and you know there's one text in the New Testament that says you can't add 1 inch to your stature by worrying. You're not going to get any taller by worrying about how tall you are. And in the text that we read in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said you cannot add 1 hour to your life by worrying. You may take a couple hours off your life, but you will never add an hour to your life by worrying. You'll never stop a war by worrying. You'll never keep the economy healthy by worrying. It serves no purpose whatever. And anxiety is so needless because there's a God of infinite wisdom and power who controls the world, and He really does have a plan for this world, and He has a plan for your life, and it is going to be carried out, and it is a plan that is good for all of His children, all of His sons and daughters. He cares about His people. If you're a Christian, He cares about you. And He knows what you need. And He knows what your situation is right now. And the Scripture says over and over again, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endures forever. And there is never a time that His mercy is not at work, and there is never a time that He is not good to His people. God has never made a creature that He doesn't care for. It's very interesting sometimes in the Scriptures. It's almost surprising. We read about the flood in the days of Noah. And Noah was in the ark. And then it says God remembered the animals in the ark. And God cared about the animals in the ark. He cared about those animals in the ark. He didn't just care about Noah. How much more He cared about Noah and his family. He cared about the animals. And that's what Jesus said in His sermon. There isn't a bird that flies that isn't provided for by God. There isn't a bird who dies that doesn't have God watching over the time and manner of its death. There isn't a flower of the field that God has not personally dressed. God cares and is involved in the lives of all of His creatures. There's no reasons for His sons and daughters to be worried and anxious. Our Lord Jesus in that sermon also said that anxiety is heathenish. It's pagan. And when you worry, it shows that some of this world still stains your spirit, because the heathen care about these things so much. What are we going to have for dinner? What are we going to put on? How are we going to get clothes? Are we going to have a house to live in? They care about the things of this world. Do not be anxious about anything. The world is so concerned about things. Its attention is on things. Its heart is set on things. And when you worry about things, you're being just like the worldling. That's what Martha was doing momentarily. Food, beds, dust, dishes. We worry about health and money and jobs. And it just is not appropriate for the Christian. After these things, the pagans seek. Then one other thought. This is the sixth reason, the sixth evil that comes from worrying. The phenomenon of anxiety, this tendency to worry, keeps some people from ever being saved. And the New Testament repeats that over and over again. That people who are worried are kept from the kingdom of God, from everlasting life, from the forgiveness of sins, because of their worry. Jesus told the parable of the sower. Remember the seed that was scattered by the farmer? The seed is the Word of God. The preachers come along, they preach the Scriptures. The Sunday school teachers come along, they quote the Scriptures. They're teaching the Scriptures to you. Some friend comes and witnesses to you, puts a booklet in your hand. You read over it. The words are passing through your mind. You hear what the preachers say. You hear what the Sunday school teachers say. The Word of God is being scattered. It's scattered on your path. It's scattered on your heart. And some of that seed grows up in the midst of thorny soil. And the thorns choke out the seed as it's growing, so that the plant can't produce any fruit. It chokes it out. It destroys it so that it doesn't bear any fruit of eternal life in the heart of a person. Matthew 13:22. What was sown among thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life choke it and make it unfruitful. So worried you can't hear the sermon. So worried about the things of this world and what's happening in his home and in his job, he cannot even hear about eternal life. He cannot hear about the Savior. Christ is preached to people. Jesus Christ is set before them. But that's choked out so that he doesn't bring them any benefit. They're worried. Luke 21:34. Jesus said, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life, and that day of judgment will close on you unexpectedly like a trap, and you won't be ready for it. Because you've been so taken up with the things that you care about in the world, and you're worried about it, and you're anxious about it, and it possesses your mind, and it possesses your heart, and you cannot think about the most important things. And some people are going to be in hell and they are going to perish because they are worried. And because they can't stop worrying even when they're in the house of God and when His Word is being preached." But is it possible to do what our text says? Is it possible? Do not be anxious about anything. That sounds like idealism. That sounds unreal. That sounds impossible to achieve. Do not worry about anything. Well, the ever practical scripture gives you one alternative to worry. We mentioned six evils that come from worry. There is one practical alternative to worry. And if you are a worry wart, you listen to this and see what the scripture says. It gives you practical instruction how to avoid worry. It gives you a solution to the problem. It gives you a cure to the evil, to the disease of worry that afflicts many minds. One antidote. And it comes with the word but. Do not be anxious about anything but. In the place of worry. In everything by prayer and petition. Instead of care, prayer. When you feel worried, pray. About everything. The scripture does not say, become an apathetic person who doesn't care about anything. That really sounds something like the advice of the popular song, don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. You owe the rent, you don't have any money, don't worry, be happy. Don't do anything, just be happy. No, that's not what our text is saying, and that's not what Christ was saying. He said, seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and then you have no need to fear. If you are seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness, then God will provide everything else that you need. If your heart is set on the right things. But there is something to do in order to get rid of worry. Don't avoid responsibility. Don't become inactive. Don't become apathetic. Don't do nothing about the things that concern you. There is positive instruction. There is something that you should do. Don't worry, but do pray about everything. And in a sense, prayer is the depository for anxiety. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. You hear that? He will never let the righteous fall. Cast your cares upon the Lord in prayer. He will never let the righteous fall. 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Prayer is taking the worries that burden you down and make your shoulders bend and your back bend and lifting them up and placing them on the Lord and casting them upon Him and giving Him the worries. Are you worried about your marriage? Take the matter to Him and He'll say, I'll take care of that. He is your financial manager. I'll take care of that. He is your health consultant. He is your political officer. Whatever it is that worries you, take it and give it to Him. Let Him take care of this business for you. But pray to Him about the matter. Speak to Him about the matter. Now notice the contrast. The text says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Do you really pray about everything? Everything that you are worried about? Everything! Every detail of the things that worry you. You say, yes, I prayed about it, but I'm worried again. Well, maybe there's some detail of the worry that you didn't mention to God. Take it to God and pray about the matter. Present your requests, plural. Underline the S. Your requests. Present your requests about worry to God. All of them. Now that's an invitation. Everything that concerns you. Every matter that worries you, take it to God in prayer. And disburden yourself of these things that harass your spirit. But I've prayed and I still worry, some people will say. Well, maybe you didn't see all the text then. In everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. The emphasis is on telling Him everything that concerns you and asking Him to take care of it for you. But we did skip something. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the incense that is pleasing in the nostrils of God. It's the thing that makes the way for all of your prayers before Him. It's interesting in the Old Testament when Jacob and Joseph's brothers were living in famine, that they heard that down in Egypt there was a wise second ruler in the kingdom that had saved grain, and people who went to him could get all of the food they needed for themselves and their cattle. And so Jacob's plan was for the brothers to go down into Egypt and to request of this second ruler in the kingdom the grain that they needed to survive from the famine. But they did not rush in and say, we need so many tons of grain. They went with a present. They took the best that they had of the fruits of the land and they presented him with a present and with praise. They took the time before the petition. Things were desperate back home. There was not sufficient to eat. The cattle could not live. The families could not live. Things were desperate, but they did not ask before they gave. And thanksgiving should be offered with every prayer. Giving thanks unto the Lord for the good things that He has given you. Remembering how good a God He has been to you. And that really prepares your spirit for the petition. It prepares you to be believing in your request. When all you're doing is wringing your hands and saying, oh my, everything is going to go wrong, nothing is going to go right, there is this possibility of disaster and that calamity that can happen, and these things burden you down and worry you, and you begin right in with petitions in that spirit, it sounds like you're complaining against God. Well, God, you're just not taking care of this world right. Nothing is going right. Everything is going wrong. I need this and we need that and this thing might go wrong and won't you keep us from that? And prayer must be believing prayer. And thanksgiving prepares your spirit to say, well, the Lord has given us this. The Lord is good. The Lord is gracious. He's abundant in compassion and kindness and generosity to His people. And He pours out so many good things and we've already received these blessings. Lord, you've been so good to us. Now I pray that, and you present your worry to Him in prayer with thanksgiving after you've brought your spirit down from that level of anxiety that is almost accusing God that somehow He's not going to take care of you. Rather, you come to Him with a heart of faith and confidence that in His goodness and mercy that endure forever, they're always abounding to His people. Then you leave your concern and your anxiety with Him in prayer. Such prayer is God's cure for worry. And there is no other cure. If you can't sleep at night, pray. If you're biting your nails with anxiety, pray. If you're worried sick, pray. If you can't function through fears, pray. Some people say, but my teenager's still out and it's late at night and maybe he's going to have a car accident. Pray. There are many evils that come from anxiety, but there is a cure in prayer. One alternative.
And will you notice the sweet effect of such an activity as this kind of prayer about everything that a person is worried about? And you find it in verse 7.
And in connection with praying about everything, the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Peace. Peace from God. God's perfect peace. Peace that can't be described. It passes all human understanding. No poet can describe it aright. No orator can describe the peace that this text is talking about. It transcends all understanding. It frustrates those who are skilled in language to describe it. It leaves philosophers and PhDs stumped to explain it. It stuns the world. There's nothing like it anywhere else. Peace that passes understanding. Peace from God. In the face of possibilities in the future. Notice also what it says in verse 7. It's a guardian peace. The peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds. Guard it from what? Guard it from worry. Guard it from worrying. Guard it from being unbelieving, not trusting in your sovereign God. Peace will guard your heart and your mind from all anxiety when you pray about everything that concerns you. And there's another thing about the peace, if you look in verse 7. It's God's peace. It's beyond human understanding. It's a guardian peace, but it's a peace that's connected with Jesus Christ. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember those words of Christ in John's Gospel, peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am going to leave you peace. Peace in Jesus Christ. And after His resurrection, He came into the disciples and He raised His hands and He said, peace be unto you. And He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Peace be unto you. I want my people to be at peace, not anxious and afflicted with worry, safe in the arms of Christ, kept in the love of Christ, cared for by Jesus Christ, under the shadow of the wings of Christ, Christ who sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, Christ who rules heaven and earth, Christ who has all authority to do as He pleases, Christ who is praying for His people. Peace in Jesus Christ. Why worry about anything when you can take it to God in prayer and end in the peace of God in Jesus Christ? Now, Paul knows what he was talking about. You remember Paul's condition as he wrote these things. You remember that Paul was in a Roman prison. He was chained 24 hours a day to one of the elite legionnaires. 24 hours a day. And you know that he was in danger of having his head cut off by the sword. And that sentence might be handed down any day from the court of Caesar. And that's the condition that he was in. And he was living in perfect peace. Go back to chapter 1 again. This is a peace that no one can understand or explain. Chapter 1 and verse 19. I know that through your prayers, there's the connection of prayer and peace again. Through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. He's in prison. He's in prison, but it's going to turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now... You see that? I expect and I hope that I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I live in that peace, and I live in that serenity, and nobody can take it from me. If death and the Roman soldiers can't take it from me, and the edict of Caesar cannot take it from me, I am confident. If they take my life, I gain. That's the frame of mind that I'm in. Not worried about my sentence, not worried about death by the sword, not worried about the end of my career, not worried about what's going to happen in the churches. I am confident that it's all going to work out for my well-being. Who can understand this? This is peace with God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I ask you the question this morning, do you know Jesus Christ? We're not talking about some trite little mental trick that turns off all the realities that happen in the world. We do live in a world that's filled with many calamities. But do you know Jesus Christ, and have you entered the kingdom of God through Him? Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you His kingdom if you're trusting in Jesus Christ. But no wonder some people worry themselves to death. They have reason. They have some reason if they are not seeking the kingdom of God and they have not laid hold of righteousness in Jesus Christ. Then there awaits them a fearful destruction of body and soul in hell forever. And there awaits them the last day when the Lord Himself seizes them and casts them into that judgment. And they have no access in prayer through Jesus Christ. And they cannot have any faith to come to God with everything that worries them and concerns them. No wonder they have anxieties. Our Lord Jesus Christ Himself was deeply, deeply troubled in the Garden of Gethsemane. And He prayed. And He had to pray three times. And He had to pray in much agony of spirit. And He sweat drops of blood in prayer. But after He prayed, He went calmly to the cross to do the will of the Father. And He gives to all of His people the ability to do the same no matter what lies in the future. If they will bring everything to God and cast their cares upon Him with thanksgiving, then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. But it has to be in Christ Jesus. He is the one and only way to the Father. He is the only way to the security of a future with blessing and not with cursing. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how gentle are Your commands to tell us not to worry, but to bring everything to You in prayer and petition with thanksgiving, everything. Our Father, we'd be ashamed to admit to our brothers and sisters here some of the things that have worried us. They're so trite. They're so insignificant. They have occupied our minds and gnawed at our spirits and stolen even our times of devotion. And they've choked out the Word of God and the means of grace. Father, thank You for the invitation to bring everything that worries us to You and to leave it with You. Why do we come to You in prayer last of all? Why do we seek to do almost everything else with the problems that arise in life and the possible problems in the future before we pray? Make us more like our Lord Jesus Christ. However, we must agonize in prayer to come to you in prayer, in believing prayer first. And give us, we pray, through our Savior, that peace that defies all human understanding. That peace which is in Jesus Christ. Oh, we thank you for Christ. We thank you that we have peace in Him. We thank you that we have the access of prayer in Him. We thank you that we have freedom from anxiety in Him. We bless you for the Savior, our Lord Jesus. Amen.